Margot's final conversation with her mother had seemed so uneventful, so ordinary. Another choppy bilingual plod. Half understandable. Business was slow again today. Even all the Korean businesses downtown are closing. What did you eat for dinner? Everyone is going to Target now, the big stores. It costs the same and it's cleaner. Margot imagined her brain like a fishing net, with the loosest of weaves, as she watched the Korean words swim through. She had tried to tighten the net before, but learning another language, especially her mother's tongue, frustrated her. Why didn't her mother learn to speak English? But that last conversation was 2 weeks ago, and for the past few days, Margot had only one question on her mind. Why didn't her mother pick up the phone? Since Margot and Miguel had left Portland, the rain had been relentless and wild. Through the windshield wipers and fogged glass, they only caught glimpses of fast food and gas, motels and billboards, premium outlets, and family fun centers. Margot gripped the wheel, hands cramping, damp with fear. The rain had started an hour ago, right after they had made a pit stop in North Portland to see the famous 31-foot-tall Paul Bunyan sculpture with his cartoonish smile, red and white checkered shirt on his barrel chest, his hands resting on top of an upright axe. Earlier that morning in Seattle, Margot had stuffed a backpack and a duffel with a week's worth of clothes, picked up Miguel from his apartment with two large suitcases and three houseplants, and merged onto the freeway, driving Miguel down for his big move to Los Angeles. They'd stop in Daly City to spend the night at Miguel's family's house, which would take about 10 hours to get to. At the start of the drive, Miguel had been lively, singing along to Don't Stop Believin' and joking about all the men he would meet in LA. But now, almost 4 hours into the road trip, Miguel was silent with his forehead in his palm, taking deep breaths, as if trying hard not to think about anything at all. "Everything okay?" Margot asked.
"I'm just thinking about my parents."
"What about your parents?"
She lowered her foot on the gas.
"Lying to them," he said.
"About why you're really moving down to LA?"
Miguel had taken a job offer at an accounting firm in a location more conducive to his dreams of working in theater. For the last 2 years, they had worked together at a nonprofit for people with disabilities. She was an administrative assistant. He crunched numbers in finance. She would miss him, but she was happy for him too.
"The theater classes? The plays that you write? The Grindr account?"
"About it all."
"Do you ever think about telling them?"
"All the time."
He sighed.
"But it's easier this way."
"Do you think they know?"
"Of course they do, but..."
He brushed his hand through his hair.
"Sometimes agreeing to the same lie is what makes a family family, Margot."
"Ha! Then what do you call people who agree to the same truth?"
"Well, I don't know any of these people personally, but... scientists?"
She laughed, having expected him to say, "friends." Grasping the wheel, she caught the sign for Salem. Her hands were stiff.
"Do you need to use the bathroom?" she asked.
"I'm okay. We're gonna stop in Eugene, right?"
"Yeah, should be another hour or so."
"I'm kinda hungry."
Rustling in his pack on the floor of the back seat, he found an apple, which he rubbed clean with the edge of his shirt.
"Want a bite?"
"Not now, thanks."
His teeth crunched into the flesh, the scent cracking through the odor of wet floor mats and warm vents. Margot was struck by the image of her mother's serene face, the downcast eyes above the high cheekbones, the relaxed mouth, as she peeled an apple with a paring knife, conjuring a continuous ribbon of skin. The resulting spiral held the shape of its former life.